Today, the Supreme Court made it easier for death row inmates in Texas, Mississippi, and Louisiana to get a last-ditch court review of their convictions. The ruling came in the case of Thomas Miller L., a black man in Texas. He claimed that prosecutors systematically eliminated African Americans from the jury panel that sentenced him to death in a brutal murder case. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
The Supreme Court has long held that the Constitution bars prosecutors from using race to exclude jurors. But the issue has persisted because of the widespread use of so-called peremptory challenges. These are challenges for no stated reason at all, as opposed to challenges for cause, when a potential juror is excluded because of bias. In a criminal trial, after potential jurors are excused for cause, prosecution and defense lawyers are each allotted a set number of peremptory or arbitrary challenges. In 1986, though, the Supreme Court ruled that in any trial, even with peremptory challenges, when there's a pattern of racial exclusion, prosecutors must justify each strike with a credible non-racial explanation. Shortly after that decision was handed down, Miller L.'s lawyers appealed his conviction, noting, among other things, that 10 of 11 qualified black jurors had been struck with peremptory challenges. A videotape prepared for a clemency hearing shows that black jurors who were struck were amazed to learn why. Typical was IBM employee Wayman Kennedy.
I was surprised to find that the prosecution was the one that struck me because I would have thought it would have been the other way around.
Indeed, prosecutors who worked in the Dallas DA's office at the time testified that racial discrimination in jury selection was routine. Ellen Abbott served in the juvenile division in 1985 and 86.
We were told to use our peremptory challenges, the challenges that you can do for any reason, to eliminate the black jurors where possible when the juvenile defendant was black. The same thing was true of Hispanic jurors when the juvenile defendant was Hispanic.
Certainly Miller L. didn't think he got a fair trial, as he indicated in an American Radio Works documentary.
It's no question, no doubt in my mind that it was unfair. It was almost like a nightmare, like I wasn't in America.
In the 17 years after his conviction, Miller L.'s case worked its way up and down the state and federal court systems with no success. Every court rejected his claim of racial discrimination in jury selection, until today, when the U.S. Supreme Court, by an 8-1 vote, sent the case back to the lower courts with an unmistakable signal. Writing for the 8-justice majority, Justice Anthony Kennedy went through chapter and verse of the jury selection, suggesting that even though prosecutors gave race-neutral reasons for their peremptory strikes, those explanations were less than credible. First, said Kennedy, there are the numbers. Prosecutors used 10 out of their 14 peremptory challenges to strike blacks. Happenstance, said the justice, is unlikely to produce this disparity. Then he moved on to other factors, the disparity in the way the white and black potential jurors were questioned, the fact that in some cases prosecutors cited reasons for striking blacks that pertained equally to whites who were not struck, the reshuffling of the order in which the jurors were considered for selection so that blacks would be considered last, if at all, and finally, the past culture of the district attorney's office, a culture that Justice Kennedy said was suffused with bias. Today's ruling, however, did not give a new trial to Miller L., at least not yet. Technically, but importantly, the question before the court was whether the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals had used too strict a standard when it refused to allow another appeal on the jury selection question. Under a 1996 federal law passed by Congress to govern appeals, said Justice Kennedy, the federal appeals courts are supposed to certify cases for appeal whenever a question is legitimately debatable by reasonable judges. The Fifth Circuit did not do that, requiring instead that the defendant prove his case right then and there. True, said Justice Kennedy, state courts are entitled to deference. But, he added, federal courts are there to act as a check if there are constitutional violations. And, he said, we have no difficulty at this stage in concluding that the lower federal courts did not give full consideration to the evidence of racial discrimination in jury selection. An appeal is justified. Death penalty litigators said that part of the decision is likely to mean more appeals will be heard in the Fifth Circuit, which covers Texas, Mississippi, and Louisiana. The Fifth is a circuit which accounted for almost half the executions in the country last year. Jim Marcus is head of the Texas Defender Service.
This should, in theory, open up the doors to the courthouse for a lot more people on death row for a full review of their cases.
Indeed, said Marcus, another death row inmate scheduled to die March 12th in Texas has a claim nearly identical to Millerell's. The lone dissenter from today's ruling was Justice Clarence Thomas, who said that in his view, there was not even debatable evidence of racial discrimination in Millerell's case. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.